Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach. And I am here with yet another high demand coach, and that is the one, the only Juan Alvarado. Now, Juan is a highly respected expert in leadership and Gallup certified Clifton Strengths coach. He's a U.S. Army war veteran with a wealth of experience in training teams of thousands of soldiers in high stakes situations. Now, in addition to his military service, Juan has worked with school districts to improve team efficiency and communication. He's helped increase productivity and bring greater employee satisfaction. He helps leaders and teams to overcome complacency and prevent burnout in the workplace through his Blueprint to Leadership course. Juan's been featured on Fox, on NBC, and CBS. Ever heard of those? He's done so because of his work in creating strength-based leaders and teams, promoting a positive culture in the workplace. So Juan, I'm so excited to have you here. I just love, you know, sometimes getting prepped for a show, you just get a feel it's going to be a good one, right? And I had that feel going through some of your materials on your website and elsewhere. So before we jump into the work that you do, some of these transformational changes that you're able to help create, I'd love for you to just add a little color to this story. How do you go from being in the U.S. Army, from training folks there, to the work that you're doing now in leadership training across the country?
Yeah, great question. If I had to put it in one simple sentence, like divine intervention, right? Like I'm a man of faith, and I feel like God has a plan for my life. And what I thought my course of action was, my plan of action was, it was like, nope. You're going this way. And so just in the, you know, you hear the saying, the right place at the right time. There's been times where I was in the right place at the right time. And there's also times where I was in the wrong place, but in the right time, as far as growth is concerned. I think that has a lot to do with it. Being able to turn my L's not into losses, but into learned lessons and growing myself. And I think the path was just kind of put before me. It's kind of what I believe in.
That's awesome. So then fast forward to today, you're helping folks become more intentional leaders. I'm wondering, tell me, what does that mean? What does it mean to be an intentional leader?
Yeah. I hear a lot of people talking about like being your why and, you know, work in purpose and stuff. But I think a lot of people take that as just being the moment, like soak it in. But there's just so much more to it. What do we want to get out of life? What do we want to get out of the experience? What do we want to get out of the relationship? Like really digging into, it's almost like going to a baseball game. I'm excited. I'm a big baseball guy. Love football. The teams that I was rooting for aren't in it, so I can care less now anymore. But there's something about going to a baseball game and hearing or the smell of the fresh cut grass and the dirt and the pop of the ball into the glove and the crack of the bat on the ball, the cheering of the crowd, the hot dog and beer smell. Like there's just something about the environment. I think a lot of people go to work. I think a lot of people go through life and they don't take in, they see all the negative things, right? The dude that cuts you off, the dude that flipped you the finger on the way to work, the traffic that's going so slow. And you're running late. Like you're taking it in, but you're taking it in such a negative lens, and we're not intentional in, well, maybe I just need to slow down. You know, maybe God's just telling me to slow down. Like you didn't take time to think today. And when you left your kids to school, you were like, hurry up, let's go. I'm gonna be late if you don't hurry up. Well, what does that do to your kid? What does that do to your relationship? What does that do to your spouse who's looking at you raise your voice to your kids? Like, we don't take a sense to smell and to listen to those things. And I don't want it to sound, cliche to be like, absorb the moment. But you need to be in the moment because the moment deserves you. And I don't want that to sound cheesy, but it does. Your kids deserve you. Your spouse deserves you. Your employees deserve you. The people who are going to hire you deserve you. But they need all of you. And if you're not 100% there, then why even show up? And so being intentional is important to me because those people that oversaw my life growing up, like my parents were good parents, but they weren't great. They weren't nowhere near perfect. They were good, but I could have used more of them, right? I could have done better if I had more of them. Teachers, people that were police officers, like this is something else I didn't put in the bio, but I was a police officer for a couple years. There's times where you could have gotten more from your leaders and leaders didn't show up that day. So, which is why I do what I do. Let's be intentional. I've learned from a buddy of mine named Rory Vaden that says, you are best positioned to serve the person that you once were. And so I am now trying to serve leaders so they can serve the 5-year-old one, the 14, the 15, the 16-year-old one, the 18-year-old one, the 21-year-old one that needed that better leader in their life. My job now is to make sure that I teach intentionality to those people so we can have a better future of leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. What would you say are some of the hallmarks of intentional leaders?
I know that this is it's a kind of like a buzzword now when people are talking about being emotionally there, being empathetic, but you can't be, not everyone can be empathetic. I'm a certified Gallup strengths coach, and one of the strengths is empathy. Empathy for me, I think, is number 11 or 12. So it's not one that's readily available to me. And for a lot of people in leadership positions, it's not readily available. So how do we intentionally use our strengths to kind of, it's kind of like when you go to other countries and your phone charger, your laptop charger, it's different than the wall outlet. And so you need a converter. What strengths can we use to convert our strengths into some form of being empathy, being empathetic? And, but I think one of the big hallmarks is not just being empathetic to how the person feels and how you feel, but really leaning in on who do they want to become. If they're under me, I, as a leader, have to shift from being a leader to servant leadership, then to being a steward. And I think that's where the pinnacle of leadership is how do I take you, right? Scott's going to be one of your staff. Scott, where do you want to go? And I have to make it my business. I have to make your business my business. Where do you want to go? And if I'm your coach, just like any father-son relationship, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter, like, where do you want to go? It is my job. Like, again, man of faith, God's put you into my lane to help you. So how can I help you? How can I serve you? But how can I take my job and my time with you so seriously that I'm helping you get to the next step? And so I think that's a huge hallmark in that. I think the next piece of that to me is just as important and is pretty much similar, is I need to lead myself out of a job. I have to lead you to push me out of my job. That's when your leadership is complete. When you can do my job at a level better than I could, then I've done a hell of a job. And then what do? It's time for me to move up. You got to take my spot. Now I move up, or I go to another company and do the same thing for other people. And so that hallmark piece is like, love your staff so much where you're taking them and you're basically leading yourself out of a position.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So one of the things that I think where there's a little pushback sometimes on you know, showing up with love and what can feel, it isn't, but it can feel soft, is how do you do this when folks are underperforming, right? What does an intentional leader do to help their team members maybe continue to feel valued or appreciated even when they're underperforming?
Yeah. So I think it's Jim Rohn that talks about you have to love grass, but you also have to hate weeds. He says you have to love like a mother, but hate like a father. And that's the example that he gives. And I'm like, wow, that's strong words. Hate like a father. Like, wow. But he gives the example of love grass, hate weeds. And that's just the comparison. And when you think about a father, you think about, protecting. I think I saw an episode of you, one that you did not too long ago with two gentlemen. And they were talking about like wives don't just need a protector. They want a provider or something along those lines, right? But it's ending with leadership, right? You have to be able to love on your people, but then you have to hold that line and say, nope, sorry, here's our standard. And so I love having this conversation, especially when we onboard, of like, this is the standard. You have to live above the standard, this much above the standard or this much above the standard. But the standard is to be above it, bottom line. Right. If you ever go below it, we're going to have a talk. And my job is to bring you back up. It is just like the reflectors or the lines in the road that let you know that you're going off the road. You hear ta-doon, 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 or the brrrr, and then you have to course correct. I'm going to allow you to course correct. However, I'm also like that center divider. If you go too far, there's going to be a bump.
Yeah.
I might have to bump you. I might have to nudge you. If you're not ready for it and you're not ahead of it, there could be some damage. My job is to be damage control. As little damage as possible to make sure that you're in your lane and let's go. The other example I give is like a mousetrap. The cheese will remain on the mousetrap forever and it'll stay open or in the loaded position. The only way that it snaps is if you touch the cheese. That's the only reason why you would ever do it. So stay in your lane, stay above the standard, and we're good. Not to say that I'm going to snap on you, but there's going to be a consequence, and there's both positive consequences and there's negative consequences. And so when people start to go below the standard, I tell leaders, you have to look at yourself and say, where did I go wrong? Where did this staff think that it was okay, or a child or a coworker, whatever, feel that it was okay to do that? And then where was I in everything? Where was my leadership? Where was my influence, right? And so when we have this conversation in the very beginning to say, hey, this is why we hired you. Scott, we hired you because you do this, 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 and this really well, and this is our problem. We have a $50 an hour problem, and you can do it. That's why you're getting paid $50, $60, $70 an hour, whatever it is. You are that person. And I have to pour value into you and say, hey, I'm ready here for your growth. However, Scott, if you go below the standard, we're gonna talk. And just having that conversation of when the talk comes, it's not going to be demeaning. It's not gonna be shame on you. It's gonna be like, how can I help you? What? Talk to me. Let's talk. Right. So you could still discipline with love, but it's got to be consistent for sure, and it's got to be regular.
I think, and that last statement there is a powerful one, because that consistency is one of the hardest parts. And I see this particularly in maybe even in more faith-based environments, but we have this great grasp of servant leadership, but we almost let it go too far. If that's not the right language, but we use it as a crutch. And we don't show up with that consistency sometimes. What is the cost of that? What is the cost of inconsistent feedback?
Yeah, you pay for it now, or are you going to pay for it later, right? I tell companies and organizations that your yearly eval sucks. Stop doing a yearly eval. Because basically, essentially what you're saying is, hey, this is what you, Scott, this is what you did really well. In the last 9 to 10 months, this is what you did really well. But this is where your performance fell short. Well, bro, wouldn't you want that at month 2, 3, or 4?
Right.
So you can make those course corrections. And so because it's inconsistent, now your employees, or again, it goes back to personal development or professional development in or out of work, you know, at home, out of home. Now your kids have dug themselves in the hole, or your employees have dug themselves in the hole. And now it's your job to get them out or motivate them to get them out. But if you do a yearly evaluation, they're in a hole too big that it's hard to get out of. And so again, you pay for it now or you pay for it later. I get what you're saying when it says like sometimes we're too soft, or we lean on it as a crutch. I really truly believe that, and I'm working on this piece for a new training that I'm doing. But I look at the difference between the trust that we have when we drive in the streets compared to when we drive in the highway. Nothing is stopping two cars from going head to head on a street that's 45 miles an hour, let's say, except for a millimeter of paint striped on the road. That's the only thing that's stopping them, and a couple reflectors, right? Sometimes, again, when you hit it, it brings in, it course corrects. However, when the speed is faster or there's more people, so in this instance, the freeway, then you have a center divide. And on both sides, there's a wall and then the center divide, right? So if your organization is going too fast or faster, or you have a lot of people, you have to have these walls or these boundaries up to keep people in line, or they're going to hurt somebody if they go. Imagine if you had a center, just a dotted line in the freeway, on the highway, like there would be fatalities 10 times as more, 100 billion times more than what they are today. So I think it's important to have those walls. So don't have your kindness be looked at as weakness, right? Yeah. And so you definitely have to have those walls up. And I think it's definitely helpful to do so. And then you can say, all right, now we're like a street. Go ahead and go as you please. But either way, whether it's a street or a highway, you still have those bumps on the road. And here's the other thing too. They're every couple feet and they're reflectors. Mm. Every couple months, have a self-reflection, have a team reflection, have a staff development, whatever it is, but spend time to reflect. If you hear doom, 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 hey, it might be time to reflect, right? Yeah. So I just love that analogy. And I think it holds true to a leader to be loving, but you can still discipline through love and be strong, because again, it's the stewardship part of things. We are put in this position to help this company. That's our job. And if we were to ever leave or quit, guess what? They're not going to know our name 2 or 3 weeks from now. They're going to bring the next person up and they're going to keep on going, which is why we need to steward that position. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that visual and the idea, like, we can put a wall up, and if you run into the wall, you kind of think, well, why'd you put that there? Right. But it's so much better than the alternative. And I think one of the points of servant leadership is actually being in that difficult position, right? Rather than again, just trying to avoid the issue altogether. I love the analogy of different speeds require different barriers and boundaries. It's fantastic. So there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it's this: what is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
Yeah. So there's a teaching that I do, and I charge for this, so that everyone's getting this for free, is just the power of alignment. When people are like, I'm just not happy at work, I'm not happy at home, do a self-reflection in your alignment. What are your goals? What are your priorities? And then what is your daily schedule? There's a saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are, right? Mm. Show me your schedule and I'll show you what's important to you. If your schedule is wake up in the morning and eat a good breakfast, go to the gym, have your protein shake, you know, have your meals every couple hours, then I can start to say, you value your fitness more than work, maybe more than your family or whatever. Or if there's a mixture of that and then sit and eat with my family and take my kids to school and do this and text message my wife or my kids throughout the day, fitness and family is something that you value. But when you roll over in the morning and you look at your phone first thing and you're scrolling for 20 minutes, guess what? Other people's business is your priority. Right. Oh. And so when we find that we're unhappy with work or whatever, my first thing is like, how are you aligned? What are your goals? What are your priorities? And what is your schedule? And sometimes we allow our schedule to dictate our goals and our priorities. Mm. But if we were just to flip it and we had our goals and our priorities dictate our schedule, we would have a completely different life, even at work or over our own lives. So this is where I found that this is the secret. Is when we let our schedules dictate everything else, it's jumbled. But if we put our goals, our priorities dictate our schedule, our GPS will give us direction of where we need to go into our life.
That is so true. When I look back over kind of periods of my life, where I did take ownership of my schedule. It doesn't necessarily happen immediately, but there's just this sense of progress. There's a sense of reward. There's a sense of fulfillment in it. And I think tying it all the way back to your original end point, that's when I'm showing up the most, right? That's when I'm showing up in the moment the most. And I couldn't agree more. You know, working on your schedule is hard to do. It can result in saying no to people or no to things. And you have to make some difficult decisions to do it. But you're right. Aligning that with your goals is such a powerful, powerful principle.
For sure. A purposeful no, or a well-positioned no, will make you a more purposeful and powerful yes, right? I say no now so I can say, you know, yes later, for sure. And I think a lot of the issue that a lot of people have is they want motivation, but motivation doesn't come first. Oh, if I just had this, I can get up and I can do this. And motivation doesn't come first. Action comes first. Right? You have action, then you start to build momentum. And once you have momentum, then you get motivation. And I think a lot of people have it backwards.
Yeah, 100%. So I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to turn the camera around a little bit, if you will. But I'm going to have you take off your coach, consultant, advisor hat. I'm going to have you put on your CEO hat, if you will, and talk to us. What's the next stage of growth look like for you and your business? And what challenge will you have to overcome to get there?
Yeah, so I've done a lot in person. Right? A lot of speaking gigs, trainings, keynotes, and I still have those things planned. But I think I need to utilize like this beautiful office and, you know, technology and being able to coach more and do things from here. And so I have a couple online courses that I've already have out, but I want to dial them in more. So as far as the business is concerned, is to dial those things in more. But the other thing is to network. I hate networking. It's not one of my strengths. But I think the next part of the business is, hey, you're really good at this level. It's time to take it to the next level. And the only way to get to the next level is to network with other people, great people. And so I have quite a few really good, powerful, people as far as like just movement in business, where I need to check my environment and my circle of friends, and it's time to elevate that circle of influence. Mm. So it's being around other greater, you know, businessmen and women and things like that. And so I need to now make my ceiling my floor,
yeah,
and get to the next level with that way.
Yeah. So there's some folks that, you know, they're already feeling the grind of 2024, and it's still early in the year. But as you're speaking, it's just starting to click, right? It's starting to resonate. They either they want to show up more intentionally as a leader. They want to take ownership of their schedule. They want to align with their goals and values. They want to understand their strengths better. How can they find more out about you and the work that you do?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram. I put a lot of content on Instagram. Raise the Bar with the Z, RAIZE, Raise the Bar CEO. And then LinkedIn, it's RTB, standing for Raise the Bar, RTB-1. And then the website, weraisethebar.com, same spelling of raise, weraisethebar.com. And yeah, right now I'm getting ready to launch a free 6-week course. Class is full, and those are going to be the founders of the leadership group, and basically just trying to position people to get into better leadership. And then once we go through that 6 weeks, those people are going to help me bring everything together in one final piece, put a bow on it, and then we will launch the 90-day leadership course. So how do we steward the leader?
So good. It's exciting times. I love it. So head on over to weraisethebar.com. We'll put the link in the URL. Again, that's a Z, not an S on raise. Juan, thank you so much for being here. What a powerful and deep conversation. I really appreciate it. And for those of you watching and listening today, you know, your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.